Education on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special. Our topic is laziness in the view of Islam. I invite you to be with this episode of today's special.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe. You are all that I believe.
We open the calendar. Today, Wednesday, is the 13th of Jamadil Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 30th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Taha, verses 41 to 44.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. واصطنعتك لنفسي.
And I produced you for myself.
اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري.
Go, you and your brother, with my signs, and do not slacken in my remembrance.
اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى.
Go, both of you, to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has transgressed.
فقولا له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى.
And speak to him with gentle speech, that perhaps he may be reminded or fear Allah.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Allah informs Moses that He has chosen him for His revelation. Now that everything has been prepared and all necessary means have been provided with Moses, addressing both him and his brother, Allah says, Go, you and your brother. So in order to strengthen their spirits and that they increase in their efforts and endeavor, he adds, And be not remiss in remembrance of me. Since remission and abandoning sharp conclusiveness may destroy the result of all efforts, therefore they must stand firmly and fear of no adventure.
يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان بالنور والإيمان.
Laziness in the view of Islam is the topic for this episode. Islam is a perfect religion. In Islam, all of life problems have been arranged and given solution which contains truth for all human beings. And these teachings will never contradict any novel invention and theories invented by men. Islam, since long ago, has stepped forward and never will it be left behind by men's innovation and advancement forever. Therefore, how does Islam view the phenomenon of laziness of men? Islam, since its dawn, has settled some warning signs for it, and Islam does pay great attention to it. For example, there is supplication to be freed from poverty, bankruptcy, and debt. O Allah, I seek your protection from weakness and laziness. In fact, it contains no specific demands, such as job, plenty of sustenances, a lot of income, nor wealth. Instead, we are guided to invoke to Allah to be freed from laziness. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with idleness in Islam. Another one is that, in our lifetime, we have to be attentive to our own fate, to our own activities, and to our the schedule we have prepared for ourselves. So nobody is expected to be neglectful of performing prayers or, for example, doing mandatory ritual deeds and so on. All of these indicate that people are expected to get away from idleness as much as possible. Here on the spot, it must be indicated that idleness is totally different from taking rest. everybody, because of activities, may get tired. Now, I mean, receiving some rest, taking some rest, okay, is essential in order to restore our energy and our attitude. However, idleness is totally different. Idleness comes from indifference. Indifference not to the fate of others, but indifference to, I mean, to our own fate. Yet we find that, I mean, it's indicated that in everybody in his lifetime should spend considerable time, however much or less, it depends on the person, on his or her own connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with God. And in this way we find that, I mean, successful people are really are those people who have some sort of religious faith. The sound of this religious faith, the more successful they become.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is the continuation of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We look at kinds of laziness. Religious laziness. This is laziness from acts of worship such as praying, fasting, reciting Quran. This is the source of all laziness, as those who are lazy from worshipping Allah, Allah will make them lazy in other aspects of their lives. These are the people that pray quickly, if at all, or recite little of Quran and remember Allah little. They are the last to enter to the mosque and the first to get out. No aspiration to improve their spirituality or get closer to Allah. Night prayer is not even on their wish list, and fasting only takes place in the month of Ramadan.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for someday, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Let's look at another tip to overcome laziness. This is motivation. In some cases, the reason for laziness is due to lack of motivation. You can strengthen your motivation through affirmations, visualization, and thinking about the importance of performing your task or chore or achieving your goal. Frequently reflecting on the person we want to be, the goals we want to achieve, and the life we want to live can motivate us to act. Another tip is doing one thing at a time. Dear brother and sister, focus on doing one thing at a time. If you feel you have a lot to do, you will probably feel overwhelmed and let laziness overcome you, instead of you overcoming laziness.
My dear friends, a lazy person can never be successful. Never. Not in school, not in business, not at work, not in the community, not as a husband. Someone who is lazy cannot be a good husband. Someone who is lazy cannot be a good father. Someone who is lazy cannot be a good wife and not a good mother. Because they're lazy. They're not willing to work. They're not willing to do anything. A lazy person can never be successful in life. Have you ever seen a marja that came, a grand ayatollah for the Shia community, who used to sleep for 12 hours a day? Have you seen a successful business person or a CEO that spends the night up watching Netflix,
on social media and sleeps the entire day, but becomes the CEO of Microsoft or Apple. Have you heard of this? It's not possible. It's not possible. You cannot be what you want to be if you continue being lazy. Whether you want to be a doctor or a businessman or a lawyer or a scholar or a professor or whatever it is that you want to be, you have to change this habit. Our youth, some of them, they're lazy when it comes to studying, when it comes to seeking knowledge, when it comes to seeking an education. They're not in the mood. They're just not up to it. Writing papers? No way. Studying for exams? No. Making commitments? Absolutely not. They're not up to it. Studying, knowledge, education is the first path to success. Wherever it is that you want to reach in life, it starts with studying, getting a proper education. Some youth, they're not willing. And this was a problem from the days of the Ahlul Bayt, if not even earlier. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam would say, I wish I could beat my companions to get them to study. Imam Sadiq is upset from the lazy Shia youth at his time for not taking the advantage of his presence to study, to seek knowledge. Not just religious education, even a secular education. Go out and study. But some are lazy. My dear youth, my dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You are blessed. You have an opportunity. You have the best opportunities. You have no excuses. Don't say I'm an Arab or an Afghan or an Iranian, I'm a Muslim. There's no bias. Don't make excuses. Go out and apply to these universities and study. And by the way, bachelor's degrees are no longer enough. Maybe 10 years ago, it was enough to have a bachelor's degree. Today, it's not enough. Go out and get a master's. If you can go out and get a PhD, get a PhD. It's become accessible. If you have the energy, do it.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was another episode of today's special. Of course, we opened a new topic about laziness and Islamic viewpoint about it. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode. I invite you to rejoin us again. Till then, have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam. And since we are on the threshold of the meritorious month of Rajab, on the first day of which happens to be the blessed birthday of Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, the 15th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, here we present you a beautiful saying from him to contemplate upon. You are the son of 3 days. Your birthday, the day on which you will be taken to your grave, and the day on which you will be resurrected to meet your Lord. That will be surely a horrible day, depending on one's deeds.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a beautiful hadith and tradition which has been narrated from the ninth Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Jawad alayhi salam. This tradition and hadith is about patience. Patience, as you know, is one of those beautiful virtues which has been praised in many places, both in the Quran and in the traditions. You know, it's been, for example, in the Holy Quran, God Almighty says, "Wallahu yuhibbus sabirin." God Almighty loves the patient ones. Or, for example, in another tradition, in another verse of the Holy Quran, God says, "Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin." God Almighty is with the patient. So patience is one of those beautiful virtues, and a lot of people say that it's one of those, you know, very fundamental virtues, which in itself leads to other virtues. It's like the roots of other, from which other virtues emanate. Right. So in this beautiful tradition, Imam Jawad alayhi salam says, patience in the face of a misfortune is itself a misfortune. For who? For the patient one? No, not for the patient one. Rather, for the one who gloats over your bad luck. Let's say that something bad happens to you, a stroke of bad luck, you lose your job, you fail an exam, I don't know, you know, you get in an accident, your car that you just bought, you know, it becomes totaled, and you know, for whatever happens to you, you know, things happen in this world to all of us, and you know, it might be that you have an enemy, somebody who doesn't like you, and he begins to gloat over your misfortune and your bad luck. What should you do in this situation? Be patient. When you have patience, and you know, you don't really you don't lose your patience in these situations, and you remember God Almighty in these situations. This itself is a misfortune for that person, right? This is a misfortune for the person who's gloating over your bad luck. And also, this concept or this idea has also been reflected and echoed in another tradition, which has been narrated from Imam Ali. Imam Ali says, "Patience makes light work of calamities." You know, if a calamity befalls you and you're patient in the face of it, this will make the calamity seem light for you. It will make it seem like it's not really a calamity in the first place. Of course, we have to remember, and we like to end here our program with the reservation that patience itself is obviously not one of the highest of virtues. There's other virtues higher than patience, but patience itself is a stepping stone to those virtues, and it should be inculcated in us. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of patience and its effect on our lives in the words of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Aqa for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانا. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Habibullah Fasihzadeh with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools
of
Network.
Of course, me.
Yeah. And also a group of students of Sevier International School. I really welcome you all again. Thank you so much for joining us. So we have here Muhammad Hadi Naghawi and
Sayyid Muhammad
Hadi Al Naghawi, yes. And we have Mahdi Al Husayna, right? And then we have Minhal Hussein Nasser, right?
Yeah.
And also
Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari.
Great. Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari. And of course, me again, Habibullah Fasihzadeh here, okay? Welcome back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us. There is one next lesson that we are going to learn, which is the mad. We call it mad. You might have heard about it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, no, Mahdi, what does mad mean? Do you know Arabic? What does it mean?
Yes, mad means like.
No, I mean, what is the meaning of mad in Arabic?
Mad means head. Means stretch.
No, not someone who is mad.
No, mad. Mad means stretch.
Oh yeah. So mad means stretch. Have you seen like have you seen theraband?
Yeah.
Theraband. You when you stretch it, okay? When you pull, okay, from two sides, it kind of stretches, yeah? It becomes longer. So this is called Mad, right, Mahdi? Am I correct? So, are you going to learn this or no?
Yeah.
So if you want to learn this, so recite a salawat. You look like a sleepy man.
Yes.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, inshallah, the next lesson is about mad. It means stretching or prolonging the sound, okay? Yeah. If you take a look, you might see some kind of signs, okay? Like lines, I mean, like what? Like a line rising and falling, okay? That
cap.
Kind of, yeah. Like
cap.
What?
Cap, like cap.
Like a cap, yes. Yeah. Like a front of cap, yes? Goes up and down. This kind of line, if you see, there's
like zigzag.
In page, do we have here? Yes.
Yeah.
In page 48. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. On the top of wall, there is a sign.
Yeah.
There is a sign, there is a line, okay? We call this line mad.
Mad.
And it means that you have to prolong the sound of if it is alif, okay? If it is whatever, it's fatha, kasra, dhamma, you have to prolong the sound. We had this natural mad. Do you remember?
Yeah.
We had alif maddi, waw maddi, and ya maddi. How much did you prolong it? Two counts.
So but this one, 10 counts. No, six.
Four. Six. This man. Yeah, it is different. No, it is different. In some words,
six.
In some words, yeah, four counts. In some words, six. Okay, so usually four.
Yeah.
Understood?
Yeah.
So, if it is, if you have to prolong it like six counts, okay, it becomes the sign itself is a longer one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay?
And it's
you might
everywhere.
See. Yeah. So now, how do you say? You only prolong the sound.
Yeah.
Like for example, you say.
You shouldn't say four times. Yeah. You shouldn't say.
Yeah. So for example, you say. like fatha. If you produce the sound of fatha, now four times say them. This fatha and join them together. Now join together. This much. This much. Okay. Six counts now. You might hear.
No, sir, it's not.
You might hear some of the reciters. Okay, they are saying like this. Okay, was-samai
wa ma bana.
I can do.
Like
you're
right?
One of them. No,
yeah, you.
I can. Me too. I can.
Can you do it, Mahdi?
Yes, I can do.
Side.
Was-samai wa ma.
You said I can recite.
Was-samai wa ma bana.
وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض like this.
I have one more. Read my recital like this.
So look, it is a little difficult, okay, to understand six counts or four counts or three counts.
Better four.
But usually, normally, randomly, okay,
four.
You have to do it four counts, okay.
Said the best example is alif lam.
No, there are six.
There
are
six counts, okay.
There are
alif
six.
Lam mim.
Sorry, there are six.
Okay, great. So, alhamdulillah, now you know what is mad. So now let's go and find. Go to page
50. 50.
Page 50. Surah Ali Imran.
So I found two. Three, two.
So, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. How do you recite Muhammad Yahya? One by one, we will go, okay? One by one, Muhammad Yahya, recite.
Alif. Oh, sorry.
What about Allah? Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam
That's great. Why not Alif? Alif.
Because you don't have mat.
it doesn't have mat.
It doesn't mean you prolong it. Alif la. That's not. Alif does not have mat, so you prolong the other one. So.
Alif la.
So, Minhal Hussein, the same thing, the same ayah. Alif la.
Is this ayah?
Yeah, that's ayah.
Yes,
first
ayah.
This much.
And this is also ayah.
Okay. Are you a human being?
Yeah.
You do so much.
Yeah.
Alif lam meem.
Look, he's in. Alif lam meem.
Look at this.
Alif, you have to cut. Lam. Separate. Meem.
Alif.
Separate.
Sir, I have a
question. Ahsan. That was. Mahdi. Alif lam meem. Recite.
Alif lam meem.
Ahsan, that was great.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Hadi?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم
أحسن everyone after me repeat الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم
الله لا إله هو الحي القيوم.
Okay, one recite it, Muhammad Yahya. Listen to Muhammad Yahya. Recite it.
Muhammad Yahya. Ja.
Listen, there is a mistake. Go on.
Allahu la.
Again?
Allahu la.
Oh, why did you change? Your first time you said Allah, then said Allah. Why?
So, because sometimes Allah, we should say Allah.
Okay, how do you recite this one?
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum.
Okay, why don't you recite it? Allahu la.
Because sure, Allah some
because Allah is very great.
Yeah,
Allah.
Sir, because behind Allah is Akbar.
Okay,
Allahu la ilaha huwa illa hayyu
al-qayyum. What?
That was good. Allah, we were focusing on Allah. So, do you want to know why?
So, because behind Allah.
Now, listen up. I tell you the reason, okay? Why you say, why heavily you pronounce Allah heavily. Remember that? Remember.
Allah is big.
Whenever.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Okay? But the reason of why do we recite it heavily is that, look. Whenever you start reciting the Quran and the first word is Allah, you have to pronounce it heavily. That's okay. Allah. But the rule is this. Whenever Fatha or Dhamma comes before Allah, you have to pronounce it heavily.
But here is mad. It's not
wait. Shh. No, look. Whenever Fatha or Dhamma comes before the word Allah, you have to pronounce it Allah heavily.
Allah.
But if Kasra comes before it, Allah.
What about Dhamma?
I told you. So Dhamma
what
and
what
Fatha.
About Mad? So here is Mad before. And on me is on no. Meme is Mad.
The ayah starts with the word Allah.
Yeah.
You say, if you say like this, look, when you join these two ayahs, it becomes like this. Alif lam meem. Allahu la ila. Because that's a letter that does not have any harakat. Meem does not have a harakat. Alif lam meem. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Okay.
Sure. I have a question. There's only lam.
Where?
Like, there's no la. There's only lam.
Allah, the word Allah?
There
are two.
When you say Allah, there's no like la. Like
fatha?
No. Because because we only have lam. You pronounce the lam like le. But there's no lam. Like you don't pronounce the lam that strong in it.
There are two lam. Look. It has a tashdid, a shadda. Look.
Allah.
Mahdi, look. Allah.
No.
Two la.
Three lambs.
Allah.
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 No.
But in Allah, two lambs and one he. And one lamb has tashdid.
And before it, it has something.
There's no L in Arabic. Oh. Like, how are you supposed to pronounce it? There's no L.
What in the...
There's no L.
Lamb.
Yeah, so.
But you're not Arabian.
Yeah. No, because the lamb, it's
you're
like you pronounce it softly, but the, we don't... Like we,
so he said,
so inshallah we will get back. Okay, let's recite a salawat.
No,
but before we do that,
like,
let's give a thanks to Xavier International School Network and also IRB
English
Radio. Inshallah, we'll get back. Stay with us. Recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad wa din farajaha.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد آمالي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها.
My dear listeners, previously we started discussing this part of the Kumail supplication. In this part, the commander of the believers, Imam Ali alayhi salam, states, Allahumma aduma bala'i, O Allah, my tribulation is tremendous. Wa afrata bi su'u hali, my bad state is excessive. Wa qasurat bi a'mali, my acts are inadequate. Wa qa'adat bi aghlali, my fetters have tied me down. Regarding the second phrase of this part, wa afrata bi su'u hali, in the previous program, We said that we have to be aware of the fact that this is one of the worst problems the people face in their lives. This is what deprives the human beings from understanding the truth and gaining the blessings and mercy and nearness of the Almighty Allah. That is why at first we have to purify our souls and then we have to adorn it with virtues. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. Indeed, he who purifies it is successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. And he will indeed fail who corrupts it. So this is so important in the path of our salvation. This is about which Imam Ali alayhi salam elsewhere says, bad temperedness is the worst companion. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَبْلُغُ مِنْ سُوءِ خُلُقِهِ أَسْفَلَ دَرِكِ جَهَنَّمُ. In fact, a servant reaches the furthest position in hell from this bad temperedness. And this is what a true wayfarer to the Almighty Allah has to take into consideration.
Oh Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased and my evilness has worsened. My good deeds have diminished and my misdeeds have become firm. And remote hopes restrain me from profiting with good deeds. And the world has deceived me with its allurements. And my own self has been affected by treachery and my delay. Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence.
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
The next phrase of the part under discussion says, وَقَسُرَتْ بِأَعْمَالِي. My acts are inadequate. In this part, Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions the inadequacy of our acts. Let us start this way. If you want to reach prosperity, if you want to reach spiritual perfection and eventually paradise, you must act in accord with the Quranic verses and of course the traditions of the Prophet's household. We all must observe the necessary criteria like perseverance, like sincerity and desire in order to be able to reach that perfection which has been promised in our traditions and in the Holy Quran. If our acts are devoid of understanding, if our acts are devoid of perseverance and desire, and of course not in accord with Almighty Allah's will, if they are done with dullness, if they are done with stinginess and jealousy and pride, how can these kinds of acts cause a human to reach salvation, cause a human to be freed of misfortunes? The Commander of the Believers, despite having unique spiritual resources, calls out Allah in his prayers at night and says, "Ah, min qillati zad wa bu'di safar wa wahshati tariq." Oh, betides the limitation of resources and the farness of the destination and the fear from the way. So, if you want to be the true wayfarer, you have to study about the methods of worshipping performed by Allah's favorite servants. And this has to be done in order to know about how they had perseverance, desire, and sincerity in their servitude. How did they worship Almighty Allah? How did they get motivated to serve and worship Allah out of their own desires? This way, and only this way, our hearts become illuminated. We get to seek Almighty Allah's path to experience spiritual life in hereafter. Let us end this episode with this narration from the martyr Qazi Nurullah Shushtari, which is mentioned in his book Majalisul Mu'mineen, that Uwais Qarani said at some nights, "This is the night for genuflection." And he spent all that night in genuflection. Some other nights he said, "This night is for prostration." And he spent that night only in prostration. Someone told him, "How do you have the ability for worshipping for so long at nights?" He answered, "Do you think the nights are so long? I wish all the world was but one night so that I could spend all of it in one prostration." Brothers and sisters, thank you for staying with us in this program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Your Jannah, ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahth al-Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Well, we are going to talk about some of the jurisprudential rules about prayer according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And let me start by one of the principles or the requirements that I've heard of the prayer, which is or happens to be, in fact, the state of motionlessness, right? Would you talk about this? What does it mean, in fact, to be motionless or without any kind of movement in the prayer? And if somebody does it affect his or her prayer?
One of the essential requirements that must be fulfilled while praying is to maintain steadiness during mm-hmm. prayer.
Yes.
It's very much important to keep your body calm and quiet and not to move, okay?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I have seen many people, and I see on a daily basis a lot of people who are restless in their prayer. You know, they move their legs, they start scratching their heads, mm-hmm. they tug in their shirts while praying, mm-hmm. and they continuously move as if they have